Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 34. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, teach us about who you are. Help us understand. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive your message and follow and obey. Lord, guide our thoughts, our minds, and show us how it is that you would have us use what we see in your word today. Lord, we want to do what you ask us to do and follow you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 20, 17 through 34. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!" The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!" Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. In today's reading, there are basically three sections. First, Jesus predicts his death again. Now, it is interesting the detail with which he predicts his death. The details that he knows what's going to happen. He knows that when he goes into Jerusalem, he will be arrested, he will be condemned, then he will be handed over to the Gentiles, the Romans. They will mock him, beat him, and crucify him. He knew the method of his death before it even happened. But he also knew something. It doesn't stop with just he will be crucified. He says, on the third day, he will be raised to life. That Jesus knows that he is going to come back. He knows that his death is not the end. Somehow his disciples forget this when he actually dies. They forget that he had told them that he would rise again. But Jesus knew, and it was all part of his plan from the very beginning. And I think that's encouraging to me, that Jesus knew then and now what's going to happen in the future. He has a plan for my life, and I can trust him. I can know that he will work things out for his honor and his glory. The next thing that happens is the mother of two of his disciples, the disciples James and John, the sons of Zebedee. She comes and she says, "Lord, let one of my two sons sit on your right hand when you are in your kingdom, and one on the left." She's envisioning a political leader or a king sitting on a throne, and she wants her two sons to be in powerful positions of authority. One of them on the right hand, one of them on the left, his most important officials. And she is asking for them to be honored in many ways above all the other disciples, which is why the others become so upset and angry, that why do you have the right to do this? I want that position. And so before he gives an answer, he asks them, "Are you able to drink this cup?" Now what he is talking about is, are you able to suffer as I suffer? Are you able to take the pain and suffering that will come with what you're asking? Are you ready for that? And they said, yes, yes. And he tells them that yes, they will suffer. They will have problems. In fact, they will be persecuted. One of them will die a very painful death. The other will be tortured and arrested and also be persecuted and cast out. But he says, I cannot give you that. I cannot tell you that you will be the ones to sit there. That's for my Father in heaven to give. But then he goes on and teaches them something. He talks about that in this world, our leaders, our government officials, they often become very absorbed with their power. They become very consumed with the position that they have been given. And they sometimes become proud. But Jesus says, no, it's not going to be that way with you. If you are a leader in my kingdom, it is not because you are enjoying and loving and using lots of authority and power. Instead, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you must be a servant. And this we see throughout the life of Jesus, that as the Son of God, as God himself in the flesh, he could have commanded and demanded and earned all of this power, authority, and respect. He could have become king had he wanted to. But he had a different purpose. Instead of becoming king, he was a teacher and a servant. He went everywhere, continually serving others by healing, serving others by performing miracles and teaching and loving. And that is what he is calling us to do. He is calling us, as his followers, to serve, to put other people first. As we saw yesterday, to not try to be the first, but the last shall be first, the first shall be last. That it's an upside down view of what most people have in this world. That we are called to be servants, to give our lives to others. Just as Jesus, in verse 28, as Jesus didn't come for others to serve him, but he came to serve and give his own life as a ransom for many. He gave his life to save us, to buy our pardon, to pay the penalty for the sin that we had committed. He gave his life to cleanse us from the defilement that God saw in us because of our sin. And so he calls us to be servants. And he demonstrates this in the next part of the story. That as he's going, these two blind men hear that he is there, and they cry out to him, "Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us, please." They realize that they don't deserve it. They're asking for mercy. They're asking and begging him to be kind to them. And he does. He asks them what they want, and they want to see. And he has compassion, and he gives it to them. He serves them. He helps them to see, and they get up and they follow him. We also need to cry out to God to help us to see. To help us to see this world as he sees it. To open the spiritual eyes of our heart. To open our eyes to see things. That just as Jesus was trying to help his disciples see that they needed to be servants, that we need to see our world and see what's truly important for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord God, help us not to become proud. Help us not to seek power and high positions, but instead to seek you. Help us to be a true servant, loving and caring and giving of ourselves for other people. Lord, open our eyes. We are often blind in our spirit. We are blind in our souls. We do not see things as you see them. We do not see the world the way that we need to. So, Father, open our eyes so that we can see you, so that we can see the world around us the way that you are calling us to see it. Lord, help us to see what is true and walk in that. Help us to see clearly so that we can see you and follow you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.